Young athletes need the tools for success on the field and on the court. And now more than ever, in the arena of business. In the new era of name, image, and likeness, Athletic Architects is here for young athletes and parents to help prepare for your financial futures. Let Athletic Architects start helping you build your house. Visit buildthehouse.com and let's build together.
You're listening to the Auburn Express.
What's up, War Report family? Your man Ike Jones here. It is Monday, January 23rd, morning drop time. We are here talking about the quarterback situation. Is Holden Garner getting overlooked in this whole QB race thing, man? Let's talk about it right here on the drop. Drop it on him.
You are now listening to the War Report.
Yes, indeed. Morning drop time. Your man Ike Jones here with Mike Chicka Chicka Jizzle. Monday morning, morning drop time. Mike, how you feeling this morning, baby?
Pretty good. If you missed the live last night, I highly recommend, yesterday afternoon, I highly recommend you go back and watch it. We had a lot of fun discussing a number of topics, but I know we're going to get at quarterback a little bit more today.
So I'm ready. Man, absolutely, absolutely. Today, we're talking about the quarterback race. You know, a lot of quarterback competition. Let's be clear. Let's get this out of the way before anybody is suggesting anything different than what we've already said. It is Robbie Ashford's job to lose for QB1, right?
Agreed.
But it is his job to potentially lose. He could lose it, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's possible.
If somebody comes out there and works, they could win the QB1 job. And my question is, if your thing is you want an experienced guy to transfer in, great. All right. No problem with that logic. But all of the let's bring in Garrett Nussmeier, who isn't even in the transfer portal, but I saw a lot of people saying, oh, let's go get him out of LSU, and the Walker Howards of the world, and the what's the kid's name? Carson Beck out of Georgia. If he enters the transfer portal, we need to bring in, because he was a former five, blah, blah. If you're going to go with a guy with no experience, my question is, why not Holden? Does anybody have an answer for me for that?
Yeah, so here's my deal. I think part of the reason why Holden has been overlooked is because of O-line issues.
Right? I understand that from last year, but everybody agrees the O-line is better this year.
Well, we don't know.
Or potentially better. You don't know yet. Going to be better, because that's the reason everybody's like, oh, Robbie's going to flourish. The O-line's going to be better. Well,
it's just carryover attitude from last year, I think. You've got a whole subset of people who think that you have to be mobile to be good. Yes. Now, I carry this line with TJ Finley. I'm going to carry it with Holden. You do not have to be able to run to be a good quarterback, even with a ton of pressure on you.
Right.
Right? You just have to go through your reads quickly. You know, you need play calling to help you some, obviously. So slow developing plays obviously don't help a non-mobile QB if he is under pressure constantly and your O-line can't protect. But if the assumption is, like you said, that the O-line is better, I don't see why Holden would not be a factor in this race. Right. And I'll tell you what, the way the injury bug strikes in the SEC these days, if they don't pick up a quarterback in a second portal period, you better hope he's ready.
Correct.
You better hope
Hank Brown is some kind of stud, or like you got a lot of hopes that you're resting on a lot of guys with no experience.
Right, correct. Now, listen, I'm a Robbie Ashford fan, but I don't think anybody hears me say it. When I'm a Holden Garner believer,
yes,
I believe in his arm. I believe in his football IQ. And I think he could play this game at a high level in this league. Now, will he get his chance? The fates will decide whether he will get his chance at Auburn. But I think he's going to get his chance somewhere, certainly. So I've got my eyes on Holden Garner because the incumbent, who is Robbie Ashford, had issues with accuracy. Now, we went over all the reasons why he may have had issues with accuracy, but the truth is he's got to take the next step, because if Holden comes out there in the spring and is accurate with the football, it's going to put a lot of pressure on him to, you know, hold on to the job. So I do think he is being overlooked by a large subset of fans. There is a smaller subset that is saying, hey, man, what about Holden? And so I think it's time that we start talking about his gifts and his talents and what he can do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the evaluation that this staff is going to bring into the quarterback room. But I don't have to go very far to find fans of Holden Gariner on the football team.
Right.
There are guys who are in those rooms who know Holden can spin it.
Including Robbie.
Yeah.
I mean, he said it. He was like, yo, this kid is going to be good. And he can spin the football. And I think they're fans of each other.
Which so, they should be.
They should be.
I think you need to make sure the guy that's next. Listen, you want the guy that's next to you to be the absolute best he can be and push you and still beat him.
Right.
Like, because, like you said, you don't know what's going to happen. And if you're a team first guy, you don't want the rest of the people on the team to be garbage. You want them all to be great, but you want to be the greatest of the great. Hey, if I'm down, I know this guy next to me is going to be able to step in and do their job. So I just feel like I've said it multiple times. I feel like this conversation has been very disrespectful to Holden Gariner and his potential. And again, I get it if you're saying I don't know, but I also don't want those same people to tell me we need to bring in some other kid who's never played before at some other school.
Right. So again, if you're bringing in all this Walker Howard talk, the only thing I hate about the chasing instant success is that it gets away from the development piece that, you know, we should be focusing on. Here's a kid who's been in our system. He's been at Auburn. He knows Auburn. He loves Auburn. And he's not going to sit and wait forever for his shot to play QB.
No, he won't.
He's not. Now, when we interviewed Cole said, like, listen, man, Holden transfers. There's going to be a bunch of schools that are just like, oh, Auburn recruited him, so we'll take him.
Right.
And he's going to go and he's going to show out someplace and be an excellent quarterback, I think, you know, at the Power 5 level. So, you know, again, a lot of this is luck and timing for these kids when it comes to if they actually get their shot. So I hope, my hope is that Hugh Freeze has versions of this offense that fit Robbie and fit Holden, because their skill sets are very different. And he likes at least a semi-mobile type, seems to be his type. So even some of the guys who may not have been as fast as Robbie, they could still get out of the pocket and run with the football if needed. Right. They could pick up on a 3rd and 10. If you didn't account for them, they might be going for a first down.
Yeah, that is literally the one question that I have about Holden Gariner is,
can he run at least a little? Right.
A little. Right. Like, he doesn't have to have Robbie Ashford athleticism and mobility. But yeah, to your point, you know, can he at least be, and yes, I am going to give a reference, can he at least be Brock Purdy for me? Right. Can he at least move around a little bit, go and get a couple of yards? And make something happen, extend a play or two here and there when necessary. That's all I need him to be able to do. I don't need him to dash for 60, 70 yards, but can you get me 6 or 7 on 3rd and 3?
Ike, when we attend spring practices this spring, that's one of the things I'm going to be looking at. I'm just going to be looking to see, does he run at practice? Does he run sprints? Does he do drills that require him to run? Do we know what his 40 time is? Do your legs work, Holden?
Right. Do your legs work at all, sir? Like, that's all I want. Are they just stands for you to be able to throw, or are they actually working in your ability to move around a little bit?
Yeah, so I'll just be taking a look at that this spring to see if he takes off with the football at any point, right? And, you know, when a play breaks down, just to see if there's some mobility there, because it can be helpful. It's not a requirement, but you know, at the end of the day, it really goes back to Hugh Freeze's system and what he puts out on the field and the history that he's had with quarterbacks. So, you know, we've heard a lot about Robbie, but people have been very on the Auburn front have been very quiet about Holden.
Right.
But and then there was all this talk about transfer QBs coming in. And I'm more about, you know, B said it on our live yesterday. I'm more about developing the kids that we have.
Yeah, and that's not a thing of like, well, I get so frustrated when we get so excited about guys that we bring in during a class and then we never see those guys develop. And I'm just like, when are we going to have the patience with the guys that we brought in to actually see them through the process?
Right.
Let them become. And there's something on both sides of that. Those kids have to be willing to see themselves through a process. And, you know, I don't know how many people are willing to sit 2-3 years, start 1 year, and then make the leap, right? Like you just don't have a lot of Mac Joneses out there in the collegiate world anymore that will sit for a couple of years and then flourish for a year and a half and then go to the NFL. But hopefully we'll find a couple of those willing to do that here.
Right. I mean, when we saw Mac Jones for the first time when Tua got hurt and, you know, in his first Iron Bowl, even though he lost, he had a hell of a game.
Yeah, no, he threw for like 400 something yards.
And
he,
four
he
TDs.
Had the two picks, but like he was dealing it.
Him and Jalen Waddle were doing damage.
Yeah.
Right. And this was a guy again who waited, you know, behind Tua and Hurts. He was QB3.
Yep.
I'll say it again. He was QB3.
Right.
And somehow Saban got him to just stick around. And when it was his turn, you know the system. You know exactly what's required of you. All you have to do is go out there and deliver the football.
Yep.
Because you spent 2 years, 2 or 3 years, just absorbing the knowledge that it takes to play QB at the SEC level.
Playing scout team against that defense that they had and understanding mm-hmm. the speed of the game from that perspective. There's a lot of things that you can learn and not have to take QB1 reps to do it.
Right, right. So I would like to see Auburn develop a QB pipeline like that.
Yeah.
Where you have a guy, you know, like Mac. I mean, is Holden Garner like our version of Mac Jones? Where he can just sit, you know, he sat behind, you know, Robbie for 2 years and then, you know, Robbie does his thing and goes on. But he has a shot to play knowing that it's my turn. Now, again, we talked about this. If I'm going to sit for 3 years, when the other guy leaves, it better be me.
Right.
It better be me.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting question, right? Like, let's say Robbie Ashford, stellar year, gets out of here. Are people going to immediately be clamoring for a transfer quarterback, or is it going to be Holden's time?
Well, people are always going to clamor for a transfer quarterback. Number one, depending on who we bring in, you need depth.
Now, depth, I'm talking about they want somebody who can, like, is it going to be the whole McCall Devin Leary conversation where they want somebody to come in and start day one.
Yeah. Now, can we be clear here? There are levels to this thing. I don't want to talk about these levels.
Okay.
Number one, there was no name at quarterback in the portal that Auburn was rumored to be looking at that blew me away. Hmm. I was blown away by none of them.
Okay.
Right. So they weren't looking at a Caleb Williams. And this portal and the guys they were targeting.
I mean, I don't know that there was a Caleb Williams out there at quarterback that was going to be a potential Heisman candidate the next season.
But that's my point. That's why I'm not sure why people are clamoring so hard. Now, the next level is if there's a quarterback out there like that, you do have to go get him if you have a shot. You know what I mean? If it's a guy who could clearly
change the program.
Yeah, right? You have to go get him. That's the game. But you don't need to reach. You can go get a backup. Because like Cole Kublik said, they're transferring for a reason.
Yeah.
What that reason is, mostly, you know, because we're talking about guys who started at their programs.
Right.
So the only reason if you're the incumbent and your job is not in question to transfer is that you want to go do it at a higher level. To show what you can do. But there's a lot of guys who get drafted out of the schools that they were leaving. If you're legit. You know, they talked about Spencer Sanders. I mean, he just threw way too many interceptions for me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, B. Will was an avid, I'm not high on Spencer Sanders guy.
I was with him.
So, he was very much high on Grayson McCall. I was high on McCall. I was actually high on Devin Leary. I thought both of them could be quality starters with the right kind of situation because I think that they had the moxie to be able to do it. But to your point, neither of those guys screamed Heisman Trophy when I put the tape on. They screamed
or even
competent starter.
Yeah, just like we'll get you through. But they didn't even scream first team all SEC to me based on what they did in their respective conferences that they would have been transferring from. So to that effect, I just don't know why people were clamoring so hard. I don't think it's a bad thing that they didn't reach for a quarterback.
And I think that that's actually the best thing, that they decided we're not, listen, we want you to come in, take a look, da-da-da, but we're not going to over-pursue here. We are satisfied enough with what we have that we can make it through the spring and evaluate what's in our room and not have to reach for something.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that could speak to a few things. Number one, we're not going to be desperate Debbie out here. Mm-hmm. Just reaching. They did a lot of work in the portal. If you don't get a quarterback, work with the two you got.
Yeah.
Right? And then bring in maybe somebody who can compete for QB2 after May. Because I don't know that a whole lot of guys that are worth a damn like are going to be in that second QB portal class.
Yeah. Personally. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in that second round of transfers.
Well, my point is that if you are transferring, you want to go through spring with your team.
Yeah.
You want to go through spring with your team. So unless something happens out of the normal with a big name QB where he's just like, and it's going to have to be something personal, like the coach, you know, call my mom a name, I'm out of here, right? Something odd like that. And you say, hey, listen, I'm done with USC. I'm out of here. And they jump in the portal late. It's going to be something like that that drives it. Because I don't, you know, unless a guy goes through spring and loses a job to another guy. But then again, if he lost the job, how do you want him? Right? Is he on the decline? Or are they just that? I mean, depending on the program that he's coming from. Now, listen, I might take QB2 from Ohio State if he decides to transfer and he loses the job because they just have a record with QB. Picking could be QBs.
Yeah.
I might take a QB2 from Georgia.
Well, I mean, it would be
Alabama.
Probably QB3 in most of those scenarios, though.
Yeah, I mean, looking at you, Joe Burrow.
Right.
Right? QB3. Went down to LSU, started. Next year, one of the most prolific passing season we have ever seen.
And still killing it in the NBA. I mean, NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, he was QB3 on somebody's roster.
Yeah.
So if they do go for that, like, you know, we're going to see, I think we're going to learn a lot about how this staff evaluates talent here, about what they do in the second portal period. So there's one more shot to go out there and get a guy. And Hugh Freeze, I personally think he's going to roll with Robbie just because of the investment and how they've kind of acted and, you know, some of the very public things that we've seen. But I wouldn't put it past them. Either way, Holden Gariner should be a factor in this.
Yeah.
And fans should not overlook him because for whatever reason, poor play or injuries, you may need him.
Yeah.
You may need him. And, you know, we need to show Holden some love. We have forgotten about you, buddy.
War Report family, you are listening to The Morning Drop, where we talk about the most recent and relevant Auburn sports news. We broadcast live from the War Report's YouTube channel on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central Time. You're welcome to come watch it live, but the live chat is reserved for our YouTube channel members only. So come on by, become a member, and get active in the best Auburn sports community on the webs. Now here's the rest of your Morning Drop.
And let's get to some of the comments that we have out here. Not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do see RTJB saying, Rah-Rah got arrested. Hopefully everything is all right with that young man. I hate to see young guys throw away their careers over whatever the situation is. I don't even have enough details to really talk intelligently about
this. Yeah, once upon a time, a lot of fans wanted Rah-Rah.
Yeah, right. Listen, he's a talented guy. I don't see any reason why a team wouldn't want him, but hopefully everything turns out okay. Again, I don't have enough details to speak intelligently about it, but
we did talk about discipline yesterday, right? And so I just, you know, when I saw that, I immediately went back to the conversation we had about disciplining players and how Hugh Freeze is going to handle that, setting a good example for other players about acceptable
behavior. It's actually going to be interesting to see. I mean, I would assume that from the little bit I know, I don't know how he remains on the team. If this turns out to be what it sounds like. But, you know, more details, I'm sure, will be out there for that young man. James Barnett says, what up, War Report? I agree with you. Robbie will either Robbie will either win the job by a large margin or he will lose it because Holden can make the throws. Interesting. I'm going to be clear. I don't want anybody winning the job by a large margin. I want it to be so close that they had to flip a coin and the guy that they went with pans out. And if the guy that they went with doesn't pan out, the guy that comes back in for as the next guy is going to be quality. Like I want that to be a close race down to the end. I don't necessarily want QB1 looking over their shoulder. So once they make a decision, make a decision. I don't think the whole 2QB system situation worked out so well. And I'm Hugh Freeze, if I'm thinking back through his time, has never really been a 2QB system guy. No. So I don't anticipate Thank God. That being the thing for this season coming up. But pick a guy, let's ride with him and make it work.
In the most recent history of Auburn, 2QB things have been, the systems have been a disaster. We had a 3QB system at once under Gus for like a game. It was a complete circus. So
yeah,
agree with you. No 2QB systems. I hope we're done with that. Good guy, go with him.
Yeah. RTJ Beats jumps back in. I feel like Auburn will be okay with Ashford. Freeze can develop him and call plays to help him.
I'm telling you, I think Auburn had a system problem more than they had a personnel issue. I think that the system made the players look worse than they actually were. And by the time they tried, they recognized the faults in their ways. It was too late.
Yeah.
They tried to pivot around LSU. The offense looked markedly better moving the ball. But it was like, why did it take like 4 games to figure that out?
Well, I mean, at the point in time, it was still them trying to figure out how TJ was going to be QB1 and still get utilization out of Robbie, right? So I think in that situation, they probably should have, after probably the second game where it wasn't really after Penn State, it should have just been like, you know what, this 2QB thing, nah. And then once Robbie became the starter, you didn't really see a pivot in the Missouri game into a system that worked well for him, right? And LSU was the first signs of that. But yeah, the commitment to Robbie's going to be a runner and we're going to utilize his legs didn't happen until the change in regime, really. Like LSU was the first kind of spread out situation, and I think that they should have stuck with that a little bit longer. But the pivot to Robbie as the runner, and hey, he's got next level athleticism. This needs to be a part of our game plan, not a break in case of emergency situation, I think was the better move.
Yeah, Derek Keesow was the worst thing to happen to Auburn football in a long time. Yikes, man. I mean, I think the promotion of him and the failure to be able to get the guy from Seattle. What's his name? I don't know how it's escaping me, right? Austin Davis. Yeah, Austin Davis, right? Was the downfall of Harsin. Say what you want, you know.
It had ripple effects. Definitely.
Yeah. Not getting Austin Davis in here and then eventually having to go with their like 10th pick at offensive coordinator really hurt everybody.
Yeah. So he was the Mr. Irrelevant that didn't pan out.
Oh, my God.
Another Brock Purdy shot.
And for the record, I heard no good things about Keesow. Zero. You know, I'm pretty plugged in when it comes to some of this stuff.
He came here as an analyst, and I think that that's really what he wanted to do. He was thrust into the on-field coaching situation after the Corn firing, and then he got thrust into the offensive coordinator situation after Austin Davis didn't pan out. You know, for what it's worth, he might not have been a great on-the-field coach, but he was definitely a team-first guy who was willing to step up and make stuff happen when it's like, all right, well, you need me to do this, coach, I got you. And he just wasn't well equipped to do that.
Yeah, he that wasn't his bag.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been.
Dana Jones, I think Gariner can push Robbie hard in the spring and fall practice. That is the sincere hope of mine.
I hope so too. I hope so too. I hope he's on his ass the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? Because again, you need competition.
Yeah.
Where there is no competition, you may not have players that are pushing themselves to the next level. Now, Robbie Ashford is the ultimate competitor. He's competing with himself in his head all the time. You know, he's very hard on himself. But you do hope that he feels Holden on his heels all spring.
For sure.
Right? And that's good for the both of them.
Yep. Haley Tubbs jumps in. Holden isn't mobile, and we don't know what the O-line is going to look like. We haven't seen much of him either, and what we saw last year was rough. Listen, that drive and a half that he got against Missouri was tough to watch.
It was, but again, system. There was no plan. It all looked awful. It was an ugly, I mean, that game was ugly. So, you know, Robbie's was the one, his legs were the redeeming thing about that game on offense.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with Haley here. We actually agree on most things. I just think we got to give him a chance this spring because he also got nothing but QB3 reps in the spring last year. And he'll be getting QB2 reps presumably. We know he'll be getting QB2 reps.
And he was really kind of splitting those QB3 reps because though he never saw time in an Auburn uniform in a game, you still had Zach Calzada out there taking reps in the fall.
That's right. I mean, it was tough. I think it was tough. You know, he had TJ, Robbie, and Calzada on the roster. I mean, and you're talking about, you know, two guys who had real game experience, and then Robbie, who, you know, was the best athlete out of all of them.
Right.
And then here you come, a true freshman, just trying to find out where the practice field is. So this will be a very, very different look for Holden going into the spring, where because they didn't bring another quarterback in, he's not competing for QB2.
He is the presumed QB2 day one.
And he's going to get reps with the ones this spring as well, too. So it's going to be very different, I think. It's wait and see, Haley, is what I'm saying. It's wait and see.
For sure. Paul Tuptoe says he's overlooked because we had a different starting QB with the ability to extend plays. Holden with a second more in the pocket can definitely be a difference maker.
Paul, this is a very intelligent comment. Now, let me tell you why. A second for a quarterback is a lifetime in football.
Yeah.
Right? The average time to throw in the SEC last year was 2.5 seconds. If your O-line is giving you longer than that, you're in heaven. Right? Mac Jones's O-line, they were giving him 4 or 5 seconds at times. That was one of the best O-lines I've ever seen. Bryce Young's O-line, he had to have the ball out of his hand in 2.3 or he was getting hit. Now, we looked at these numbers because PFF keeps all the time to throw stats. So, yes, I love this comment because at the end of the day, Holden is going to need that extra second in the pocket. Now, listen, he still has to make quick decisions. That 2.5 is a real number. He needs to have, on average, he needs to have the ball out of his hand in that amount of time. But if they can give him a second more to scan the field because coverages start to break down. So if you're actually protecting your quarterback, somebody's open after 3.5 seconds. And if he can find that guy, he'll be dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. Lee Bands jumps in and said, I was watching Holden's highlights from high school in A-Day. Nothing but dimes.
Nothing to add here. Yes, 100%. That's why we recruited him.
Riley M., the O-line and its progress will be a major factor in determining how much Holden Gariner is able to challenge, in my opinion.
Agreed as well, too. If they can't protect, I don't see how he's the guy. Yeah. Unless, again, he is just so quick with the football and the routes from the receivers are just so sharp that it just doesn't matter. Like, come at me. Because when you blitz, somebody's open.
Right.
Right. Or somebody's one-on-one with their man.
Right.
And if you can deliver an accurate football, you hope those guys win.
Listen, so, the time it took... I'll say a nice thing about the Dallas Cowboys here. The time it took between the drop back that Dak Prescott had and he threw that bomb to CeeDee Lamb up the sideline when they were down inside their own 10-yard line or inside their own 15 to start that drive wasn't very long. Dak got back to his back foot and threw the ball 50 yards in the air. Like it was quick. How quickly he got that ball out to CD, and CD just went up there and got it. You'd be surprised how little time it takes to get downfield. These guys are fast, right? Like, I think people forget what speed really looks like down the field. It doesn't take a whole lot of time if you got a guy who can go up and get it and you've got a QB who can deliver it accurately. So to your point, sometimes it's about one-on-one matchups, right? All right, cool. You want to blitz? That's fine. You just put freaking Cam freaking Brown one-on-one with some DB out there. I'm going to back shoulder you to death. I'm going to get on my back foot and I'm just going to throw a jump ball up there to this guy. Or I got Mardner on the outside. We're just going to throw a jump ball on the outside. Blitz, that's fine. I'm just going to take one step, throw a jump ball to a guy. He's going to go up there and get it. Good luck.
Yep. I agree. One-on-ones. Can Auburn win one-on-ones? And if Holden Garner can throw, you know, good jump balls, that'll be something that, you know, we haven't seen for a while at Auburn either. Now, because we talked about who's going to be the jump ball guy this year. That was another discussion we had previously. But, you know, you can't have a good jump ball guy unless you have a guy who can throw a good jump ball. So,
correct.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what he can do there.
Lawrence Robinson jumps in. Holden's quick release seems like a fit for Hughes' passing attack.
Yeah, listen, nothing like a quick release. Get the ball out of your hands before the defense can react, make it accurate, and then let the receivers do their work. So, agree.
James Barnett jumps back in. Holden is a sneaky runner. If you don't account for him, he will burn you.
I will report back on this after the spring, James.
I was about to say, I literally, like, not even joking, never seen Holden Garner run. I just never seen him run.
I know. Like, is there like a picture from his childhood with him running from a dog or something? Like, we have
maybe
to know.
Maybe I need to go back and watch his high school tape, and then there's something there where he's escaping. I've never seen it. And that, again, that's not me saying that he can't do it. I'm just saying I've never physically laid eyes on him doing it.
Yeah, for sure. We need to know if it's true. Holden, if you're watching, send us some childhood tape of you running on the playground.
Right now, you guys are doing weight training. Just go get on Instagram and get somebody to hold your camera and then have you just take off running. And people be like, oh, Holden can run. Look at that. Both of his legs work.
We need to see it. We definitely need to see it.
Full sprint, though. I don't want to see a jog, bro. Like, I'm talking about, like, it doesn't have to be your best 40 time, but I just want to see you. Maybe do this for me, Holden, if you're watching. I'm going to do the whole Hugh Freeze thing here. Right? I'm going to have a thing where I clip the video so I can send it and tag Holden. I don't even know if Holden's on social media like this, but here we go. Holden Garner, if you're watching, Auburn fans want to know if you have mobility. So here's what I want you to do. Here's the challenge for you. And I guarantee you this social media video will go crazy. Listen to your boy Ike Jones right here on the War Report. I want you to simulate a snap, take a 3 to 5 step drop, and then just take off running. Like, don't try to throw, just up and then run. And people are going to be like, oh, look, Holden can run.
Yeah, for sure.
Run for like 10, 15 yards. If that video clip of you dropping back and then running for 10 to 15 yards is less than 20 seconds in totality, I guarantee you it's going to be widely shared. And you can thank your boy Ike Jones right here at the War Report for giving you that tip.
Yeah, I, for those of you who watch the show, you know I was recently diagnosed with lupus. And one of the things that the doctor said might help me is a video of Holden running a 40 or something. So Holden saved me, man. Like, yeah, you're my only, help me, Holden. You're my only hope.
All right, Dana Jones.
I'm going to milk that for a while.
Yeah, man.
I get at least 4 more months with that, right?
Dana Jones jumps back in. I think it may come down to who can make quick and correct decisions on a consistent basis. Listen, this is playing quarterback.
I was just about to say that. You took the words out of my mouth. This is playing quarterback. Dana, I want to thank Dana. She is a patron member. I don't know that I've seen her name in the comment section before, but I'm happy to see her.
Definitely a new and commenting a lot. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, listen, we take note of the people who comment. And when you guys aren't here, we miss you. So thank you, Dana, for joining the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Todd Jordan, our guy, how long until we get to the point where players are signing contracts with their respective universities? It's pretty much what an NIL deal is. I mean, it's not so with the university itself. NIL is with a collective or with some other person.
It's pretty much what we're doing now,
I don't know that we'll ever get to a university contract.
I mean, they sign contracts with the university. It's called a letter of intent.
Yeah, which is why the whole Rashada incident is, you know, so it's just not a monetary exchange other than scholarships situations.
But, and stipends. They get stipends too.
Yeah, I mean, you essentially are signing contracts right now. But yeah, to your point, I understand is it going to turn into semi-pro ball? I don't know that we'll ever get to that place. Maybe we will. I just don't know that that's ever going to be a situation for collegiate athletics, because then you change the dynamic of what your university budget is when you have to put that burden on the school. So they like it better when it's boosters and it can be outside of the university system, because then you start talking about having to have paid employees and you got to get into an insurance situation. It becomes a monster once the schools are directly responsible for that bill.
Agreed.
Retirement, like so much stuff. Anyway, Lawrence Robinson jumps in. Looked like Will Friend or Ike Hilliard should have gotten the promotion over Kesau.
Listen, there were some players who told me this, that they thought Ike Hilliard should have been promoted to offensive coordinator. And we were told by a reliable source that he was not given the he wanted to. Now, listen, when I say this, I know there are going to be a bunch of people that say, but Mike, he was a short-term fix. He wasn't going to stay. Who cares? If you are a successful program, you're cycling through coordinators anyway. Auburn fans need to let go of this delusion that if you're going to be successful and hold on to coordinators, you're not.
That happened.
If he's good, you're going to have him for 2, maybe 3 years, and then he's gone. That's it. Same as players. If you have a fourth-year starting quarterback, he might not be that good. Because, the guys who are the best, are 2 years and out.
Yeah, because they probably didn't play their freshman year. They came in their redshirt freshman or their sophomore year, played for a couple of years, and they bounced.
Yeah. Now, when I say 2 years now, I mean on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if they're on the field for 2 years, if they're any good, they're gone, to the NFL. And maybe there's some guys, there's some rarities, I think, where guys play 4 years and then are high draft prospects. But, point me to those. Show me those. I don't see him. So, Hilliard.
Again, it's unlikely in our league, right? Like, it happens in some other places, but it's unlikely in the SEC that you have a 4-year starter that's also a quality starter.
Correct. Yeah. And the other reason why you don't have 4-year starters, the same way you don't have 4-year coordinators, if they're any good, is that if they're mediocre, they're probably losing the job anyway.
Right.
Because the level of competition in each program is so high.
Or you could be Jackson Dart and be a 1-year starter, and then they replace you.
And then they replace you.
I'm going to keep taking shots at this Jackson Dart situation if you guys didn't realize. But
right. So, so it is what it is. But, I think Hilliard, I was disappointed that we didn't get to see what Hilliard could do as a coordinator. I know he was kind of like co-offensive coordinator after Hurston got let go. But, it looked like Will Friend was calling plays, so I don't know how involved he was.
I think Hilliard was like a pass game coordinator, just helping to do some game plan stuff, but Will Friend was the actual play caller. Yeah. Big Gap 78 says, Holden for a building rapport segment. I am in favor of this, Holden.
Yeah,
folks, man.
Hey, listen, we'll sign the NIL contract. So just hit us up.
But we are out of here. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning with another great edition of the Morning Drop. Until then, and as always, War Eagle, we are out of here.
Peace. Drop.